Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly grateful you chose to be with me on this 24th day of May 2020. We're going to look at a very big subject here, hating myself. I'm getting a lot of emails recently about this subject of just not being happy with ourselves at all. And we're going to talk about that, and possibly, maybe, I'll be able to help you a little bit with this. I want to remind you, we have some wonderful offerings for you during this pandemic, as it were. We're offering to you the journal, my monthly breath journal, for free. If you go to the website at aspire.org, it's there, and you can download it and read it. It's on all sorts of different subjects. They're all there for you to help you, maybe, hopefully, kind of see the light of your heart a little bit more. And then, of course, on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, you can join us for our Zoom discourse dialogue session. And I would love to have you. All questions are our game. If you've ever wanted just to ask me a blunt question about whatever is on your mind, about your practice or the lack thereof or whatever, I'm there to help you as much as I possibly can. And you're invited. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see that there is the Zoom Saturday discourse. Just click on it and you can enter the discussion and discourse from the website at aspire.org. On that page, it will say, you know, come and join us, and then you just click on it, and bingo, the magic of technology. Who knew? You know, if I was thinking the other day as I was sitting here working away, and if somebody had told me upon the day of my ordination that I would be giving discourses and answering questions via a computer, I wouldn't have been able to fathom that, you know? Who knew it was going to get to this? So here we are, trying to serve humankind, but we can't be there in person. And I just think it's interesting where we've gone, our technology, the whole thing. I think it's really, really interesting, and I am grateful for it. I really am. Let's get to the first question from Raymond in Texas. He says, I hate my life now. I want my freedom back. You talk about inner freedom. How can I obtain it, Raymond? Well, inner freedom, Raymond, is something that is attained, not obtained. You attain it through compassion, liberating yourself from your mind. And so I'm going to kind of get into this with you a little bit, and I hope I'm able to put it in words that in some way instill upon you and within you the gravitas of all of this. It is only the mind and how it is formulated around the dictates of our human body, our emotions, that is our captor. Really, we're free right now, all of us. And to have this liberation, this true freedom, is really not a difficult thing to do. If you and I will just practice not having a relationship with our mind, our body, and our emotions, through the dictates of a mind that is, so to speak, destined for its own personal destruction because it doesn't get what it wants and it's acting out based on the chemicals in our brain, in our body, functioning as the norm of our life, the norm of how we like to feel emotionally and mentally, then something can be a breakthrough. People will tell you you have to have a relationship with your mind, your body, the whole thing. The relationship you have with your body and mind is one of the most interesting and integral of all relationships, and most of us just don't have the acuity to really understand what this relationship is really all about. It's about survival. It's about DNA. It's about living genetically. It is about you and I just going about our life without any regard for the state of our mind and how it affects the body and how the body, being emotional, affects the state of our mind. And people will tell you there can be a unity in all of that and a harmony. Well, there may be a unity, but there is definitely not a harmony. The body can say to you, give you urges and instincts to do many things that are self-destructive and unkind. Many, many. And if you're not careful and you fall into that category with your body, you're going to find your body rules. In fact, that's the problem with most people. Their bodies rule their life. Their only relationship with this world, with their own livingness, is based on the impulses and the instincts of the human body. There is nothing more. They will not consider more. And I don't know, Raymond, if you're one of those people who wants to liberate, but if you're going to liberate yourself, you have to stand back from your mind. You have to see it as it is, as a biological instrument for survival. And it won't change until you raise your level of thinking, your consciousness, where you are no longer subjected to the Darwinian ideal of survival of the fittest and dog eat dog kind of thing. And it gets really ugly. And we're so confined to these premises, these ideas, these concepts, that it makes it absolutely impossible for us to be liberated. If you're only there to serve your body and the instincts of your body, following them, you're going to do and say some pretty awful things that are going to be terribly self-destructive. You're going to find yourself overeating, maybe drinking, smoking marijuana, obsessing on binging on movies and stuff. Now, I understand that flour, this is what I recently read, flour is hard to get because everybody's baking right now. So that means they're baking bread, they're baking cookies, they're baking cakes, they're probably watching the Eat channel. They have just unleashed a new one called Eat. And if we are not, you know, full of diabetes and an overweight and all of us suffering from that one way or another to get through our frustrations, that's mind, body, and emotional eating that sustains nothing but pain and suffering later on down the road of our life. So what to do? What can you do? You and I have to step back from our minds. You can't have interaction with your instincts. This is the issue. And the mind right now, for probably most people, is set on the instinct for survival. I mean, could it be anything else? If you look at it, we're suffering here. We're really having great struggles trying to pay the bills. And the government is banging on the door, still wanting income tax. I don't understand that. Maybe we should have a year where there is no income tax. And maybe all these senators and presidents and everybody really give up their salary for the end of the, to the end of the year or beyond when the virus is, so to speak, handled. Maybe that would be, maybe they'd be much more motivated to find a way. And instead, they keep sucking us dry, and they don't really understand what they're doing to we the people. And of course, the government we have is the government we deserve because we elected them. But people are not very sharp, Raymond. They don't really see what's going on in the background. Nonetheless, less than none. You're going to have to not talk to your mind. You can't be talking to it, having a relationship with it like it's a person. We make that up in our mind. We don't know how to separate because we think our mind is us, and it is nothing but a bunch of impulses. So if you stand back a little bit from your emotions, stand back and just observe, oh, it wants me to eat when I'm not hungry. Oh, it wants me to worry when there's nothing I can do about what's happening. Oh, it wants to be constantly entertained and occupied so I don't want to do whatever bad habit I might want to do. As long as we live in the confines of all of this, we're going to miss the meaning of our life and the substance of our living. And it's going to get uglier and uglier as time goes by. So, Raymond, don't hate your life. Your life is more than just eating and drinking and partying and having difficulties. Your life is far more than that. You have, believe it or not, a beautiful life that lives within you. This is a time to discover that beautiful life, to go for it, to start penetrating beyond the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad. This is about compassion and love. This is about the goodness of your nature and finding it. If you don't find it now, and you remain the same person you were before this pandemic started, what have you achieved? Have you used this time well to awaken, to come to a place where you're no longer involved in the mediocrity of your body and mind, the mediocrity of your genetics, the mediocrity of society, just staying alive, getting some money, trying to pay the bills, and all of that other stuff that we make so very important, which are important, there is no doubt about it. But the problem is we don't see any inner peace in us. And to really live our life well, we're going to need that inner peace. Anyway, there you are, Raymond. I don't know if that could help you, but I certainly hope it did. And thank you for your comments about Aspire. I deeply appreciate it. And please forgive me. Namaste. It seems that I Gotcha, the TV series we're showing right now on Aspire on the YouTube channel and on our website, is hitting home. And that was recorded, believe it or not, 30 years ago. All the TV programs I did, are relevant to today. It doesn't really matter what day or era. It isn't that I'm so brilliant. It is just that we don't change, and spiritual work remains the same. And it's all about awakening. And anyway, that's that. Let's go to the next one. Jack from, he just puts California. I'm drinking a great deal, and I know it's not good. I'm eating a great deal, and I know that's not good. Why am I doing what's not good for me? What should I do, Jack? Well, Jack, a lot of what I'm going to say to you is nothing new. And a lot of what I'm going to say to you, I said kind of to Raymond, you're living by your impulse, your emotional impulses. The mind and the emotions are interesting things. The mind is used to being occupied. The emotions are the commander-in-chief to make sure that the mind's occupation is on a subject that pleasures the emotions, that gives the emotions feelings of security or happiness or gratification or importance, things like that. And that's mostly what we all are dealing with right now. So when you start thinking about your emotionality, that's where you want to go. And I don't know if you inherited your drinking issues, your eating issues, your binging, whatever you're doing. Most of the time, we find that these things are emotional, that we have, so to speak, inherited genetically from our lineage, our families. So if you can look at it from that point of view, you have to come to a certain place within yourself and ask the question. Now, this is the question. Most people can't answer it, won't answer it, or when they do answer it, it doesn't work for them. Are you going to live someone else's life? Do you think your ancestorhood is so important and so significant that you should be living the life of your ancestors? Maybe ones you don't even know. What should you be doing? Should you be living in this world as someone else? Because when you and I fall for the idea of whatever my impulses are telling me to do, wanting me to gratify or whatever, I am living someone else's life. It's not my own. I'm not even making my own choices. I'm impulsed to do something. Maybe something terribly self-destructive. Maybe something that's not good for my health. We've all gone through this. And you put that cookie in your mouth, or in your case, maybe a beer in your gullet there, and you're thinking to yourself, what? Is this good for me? I know I shouldn't do this, but you do it anyway. If I do it, I get a whipping. I do it. This whole thing, this Tweety Bird mentality, as I call it, is something that most people just simply succumb to because they want to appease their emotions. They want to escape themselves. And this is something I've always been fascinated by when I was younger to the day I am sitting here with you now. Why do you want to escape who you are? Are you so miserable being, in your case, the Jack? Is it so bad being the Jack that you have a very difficult time living in him? And if so, why? Why? Why is it so hard? What's going on for you? You have to ask yourself that question. What are you doing? How are you living? What are you living in? What are you living up to? What are you living for? You look back at this whole thing. You're in a beautiful world, a beautiful earth. It is a beautiful place until we get here. And then in that beauty, in this beautiful earth, we live in a human carcass. And the carcass really was made by two people who had lineage too, your mother and your father, of people you never knew, people you may never know, people you have only heard about. And all of a sudden, your body is acting and reacting from the premises of all of this, all this genetics. And you have to stop and ask yourself, am I for real? Am I the person I am? Or am I just indulging myself in my genetics and find that I don't like who I am and I have to get drunk or smoke weed or do some other self-destructive thing, binge on TV, binge on cookies and sugar and all that other stuff? Is this what I do? I have counselees that just do nothing all day. I have a couple of them, but sit and binge all day. These aren't really students. They're counselees I work with. And they have no intentions of doing anything other than that. They're bored. They'll say, I hate this, but they do it anyway. And when I offer to them a chance to do some inner work, some maybe self-improvement, quote unquote. I pander it off as that so they can understand it. They don't want to do it. They've lost their initiative. They've lost their inclination, their ilk, to awaken, to do anything even healthy. One of them hasn't even taken a shower in a month. And you start to look at it and you wonder, how do you live this way? Well, it's easy. So, Jack, you're going to have to take an assessment of your emotionality and what's going on in there. And maybe it would be good to keep a journal of what you do hour by hour. How many hours did you spend watching TV? How many hours did you spend sleeping? How many hours did you spend eating? And when you were eating, what were you eating? What was the state of your mind? Start to look at the journal. What was the state of your mind? Where were your emotions? What were they dictating to you? Start to see and understand this isn't personal. What you're experiencing is something that occurs and occurred long before you were born. And if you can understand that ever so slightly, you can begin to come out of the sleep you're in. If I did it, believe me, Jack, anybody can do it. Anyway, there you are. Hope this helped you, and please forgive me. Namaste. We're running out of time here. The last question comes from Susan in Nevada. She says, I feel depressed. The president sucks. The government sucks. You can't trust any of them to help. I am so depressed. I never thought I would be so depressed. Boy, she used the word a lot. Susan. Susan, the government is not responsible for you. What you haven't evidently seen is it's all smoke and mirrors. We're responsible for the government. We're the ones that voted them in. We're the ones that not only elect them, but basically agree with the kind of country we have. We're not in democracy. Everybody is screaming and waving the flag and saying we're great. We're not a great nation. We never have been. We barely got through World War II, and we start every war around ever since World War II. We can get ourselves into. We are run by hate and fear. What do you expect? The government is there to command hate and fear and make you believe it's the best thing that could possibly happen and is in your best interest. We're minions to our own stupidity as a country, as a nation. So hating your president for his ineptness and hating government for its greediness might be a metaphor for you and me. What are we all about? We're participating in all of this willingly, and in some ways, not so willingly, but we feel forced to do it. What the hell are we doing? We're the ones that have made this all possible. We don't have the inner strength, the ilk, to do anything else but just follow and complain and follow and complain. That's all we do, follow and complain. We don't rise above anything. We just succumb to what we are told. The fist that is the mightiest and the strongest, the temptation and the promise of ease and comfort is all about what we do in the course of our lifetime to make ourselves feel like we're important or necessary or can survive. We do a lot of ugly, ugly things. Now, there is nothing I can do about that in this world but transcend. You must transcend. You can't keep living off the bad breath of the United States government and thinking that people in general are going to save you. If you do things like that, you deserve what you get. You have to be an original thinker. You have to think outside the box of your own pandemic mind, a mind that is belonging to the lineage of your family and the culture and the society that we're engaged in. You have to get beyond all that. And if you don't get beyond all that, then you're subject to all of that. So it is all about meditation, spiritual awakening, discovering a new place in you, a new entity beyond the entity you're living with now. It is about rising up. It is about compassion and love and forgiveness. It is about all the weaknesses that people tell you are not American and or Western, and living in a world and in a life where you have the faith, the strength of character, the way of life, to live beyond the beyond. Susan, I wish you well. And I wish I could say more to help you, but there's nothing I can say. You're probably pretty set in your ways, and all I can do is offer you a hand. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. I hope I will be able to be with you again next week. Have a beautiful week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.